Welcome to the January 15th, 2012 edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Today, Pastor Randy Karsten's sermon is titled, Living in the Gaps of Life. The scripture text we'll be using is Hebrews 11, 1-3, so if you have your Bible, you're welcome to open there now. Here's Pastor Randy.
Service register, the little black book, so that we can have a record of your visit, and you can see our passage is found in the bulletin. You're welcome to look at it while we think about it, because we're going to be talking about faith. And if someone was to come to you and they were to say, "What exactly is faith?" I mean, how would you answer them? It's not an easy question, because it's not something that you can touch or that you can feel or that you can see. Say, like this pulpit, is faith tangible? Is it intangible? Is it both? A lot of people have different ideas of what it actually is. I'm a guy that prides myself in being able to find places, either by Googling or by just receiving directions. And if I need to go somewhere, I will ask directions. And you know how people are that give directions. I'm the same way. We go this way, and then they'll point out, you know, you go this way and you take a right and you make sure you go past the Sonic on the left, and then there's this on the right, and there's this on the left. And before long, you get this, if you're like me, real quickly I get to the overload. And I just say, well, I know about where that is. And so I'll go down the road looking for it, and I'll take that right, like I remember them saying, and maybe that left, and I'm thinking, I know it's going to be in this area of town, so I'm just going to go to that area of town, and I think I know where it is. Well, more than once, I've gotten to that area, but I haven't found the place. I've gotten to the area, but I haven't found exactly what I was looking for. And I think that's what people do when they try to define faith. And one of the more popular definitions of faith is belief. Well, that's in the area, but is it really that accurate? I caught a TV show the other day. I don't know if you've ever watched Malcolm in the Middle. But in the show, Hal and Lois, the mother and father, they're always trying to get a break from their kids. And so they renovated their garage into like a tiki lounge. And so they had all these lights and all these paintings up, and they had their lawn chair sitting in the middle of the garage, and their feet were in sand that was in a baby pool, so they'd recreate what it's like being on the beach. And they were discussing and having just a wonderful time and everything. And then Hal found out that Lois didn't believe in heaven. And so he said, "Lois, how can I go on knowing that you're not going to be in heaven because you don't believe that heaven exists? You have to believe, even if it's just for me." It's almost like he was saying, heaven exists only if you believe it, and if you don't believe it, it doesn't exist. Your belief determines whether it exists. That's not faith. That's fantasy. Another one for some people, faith is like constant optimism. And certainly faith is a very optimistic thing. And we like people that are optimistic. And we say, you can reach your highest dreams. Just work hard and have faith. Well, if my highest dream is to dunk a basketball, I'm probably going to need a little bit more than just believing real hard. Something besides faith. And for many, it's a hope-so feeling. We say, if I just have enough faith, if I could feel more faith, if I hope, I hope, I hope. And then we've all heard that faith is blind. Faith is believing in spite of the evidence. And again, that's right there in the area, and that's pretty close to where we're trying to go. But I would say that isn't faith. That's superstition. Because what we're going to see in this series is that there's always evidence for real faith. It just might not be where we're looking. And then, for some people, faith is sort of a hollow religious experience. It's a practice. You know, we'll hear someone say, "Yeah, I believe all that stuff. I believe all of it. I've grown up going to church, and I've heard that since I was a little child." And more than once, I've asked a person about their faith. I've asked the person if they know Jesus Christ. I've asked them if they were saved, and I'll get an answer like, "Oh yeah. My grandfather was one of the original founders of this church, and in fact, there's a pew named after my grandmother. Yeah, I know I'm saved. I know that's going to be okay. I've got a lot of faith." Well, maybe. How would you describe your faith? That's a pretty important question. Because a person's faith that's based on their view of God, whatever it is, determines what their life is like. You know, what's your view of God? I mean, if we think God is that older gentleman with long hair and beards and a robe, and he's kind of floating in and out among the clouds, and he's really benevolent and he's really kind, and he just kind of winks and looks the other way when we mess up, you know, well, then that's going to affect the way that we live. Or if we believe that God is up there watching everything, he's got a club over his shoulder waiting to nail us. Anytime we step out of line in the least little bit, and we're guilty all the time, well, that's going to affect the way that we live and the way that we think and the way that we feel. But one thing's for sure. The most important aspect of our lives for believers is our faith. And we got to nail that. We got to get that right. And the Bible announces over and over again the importance and the necessity of vital and active and accurate faith. Because the Bible says we're made right with God by faith. We are kept by God with faith. We walk by faith. We endure by faith. We rejoice and we serve and we love by faith. We sacrifice and pray and worship by faith. We obey by faith. All these things are by faith. In fact, Romans tells us that we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to think about this and we're going to talk about it. And I want you to take a look at your faith and examine it. Open it up. Put it before the mirror of the Word of God and the things we talk about, because I want us all to really continue to grow in our faith, and I want our faith to sharpen. And the place we're going to kind of jump off of is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 11. Most of you might have heard of it. Maybe you've read it. It's filled with people who have demonstrated faith. It's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. Now, I heard on the news that a shortstop for the Cincinnati Reds named Barry Larkin, I don't know if you've heard of him, I don't know him that well, but he was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. And that means he hit the ball pretty well. He got a lot of hits. He stole a bunch of bases. And he was an excellent fielder. And if you want to get a description of what a really good baseball player is like, then let me encourage you to go to the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, and look at what these guys are really like to get a good description of what a good baseball player is like. And in the same way, if you want to get a good idea of what true faith really is, this is a wonderful chapter to go to. It's the Hall of Fame of Faith, and in it, it's a description of living faith, and we want to look at the first three verses this morning. You can follow along if you want. It says this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That's the word of God. That's sort of the introduction. Really, it continues from the last chapter. So if you get bored, you can glance at the last chapter and see how God through the writer is describing what faith is really like. A description of faith. Now, it's interesting. The wording's a little different in other Bible translations. If you take the English, the ESV, it says this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. And you might have learned this verse, memorized it when you were young, out of the King James. And I like that translation. It says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, why would this writer take the time to write this and to tell this to this group of Hebrews that were in church? Because he's trying to encourage them. These churchgoers were going through a difficult period in their lives. We always go through difficult periods at one time or another. And I know that in our midst, it's like that. That's how life is. And these guys are going through a hard time in their life. And put yourself in their shoes. They're having economic hardships. The money was running out. They're having spiritual challenges. They're actually questioning if that they should go to church, or if they should go back to worshiping at the temple. And there were social challenges. And we get those for all kinds of reasons. Physical challenges. They're really getting these because they were Christians. And people were coming after them. And people were ostracizing them because of it. So it wasn't really going smoothly for them. Now, they were in church, so they knew about the promises of God, and they had experienced them. They could probably tell you about God's love and about God's provision, and they knew of God's great works in the past. They were brought up on that in Sunday school. And so what God, through the author of the book of Hebrews, is saying, he's saying, hang in there. You can make it. Don't shrink back. Don't cave in. No matter what you're going through, you can get through this. Why? Because you are people of faith. And just as those people are people of faith, so are we people of faith. And that's a powerful summary. Even though you're struggling, he's saying, even though you're hurting, even though you're confused or doubting, even though there's things that are going on that maybe you have no control over, even though you might be saying, you know, I didn't really sign up for all this. I didn't know it would be this hard. And your faith is being tested, it's being tried, and it's being challenged. Even again, maybe you're once again in the waiting room, waiting for the doctor's report, wondering what he's going to say, wondering if this procedure is going to work this time. And in your mind is all these ifs and ands and buts, and he's saying, don't shrink back. Or maybe there's a big decision that you have that's weighing on you, and you go back and forth, and you're not sure, whatever that decision, whatever it might be. He's saying, don't defect, don't turn back. You have this substance in you. You have this stuff that's in you, and it's called faith. And hold on to your faith, and in doing so, you know that God is holding on to you. See, a believer's faith is a deeper view. It's like contact lenses that sees the fingerprints of God in the world and in everything that is going on. And that's the conviction of things unseen. The conviction of God's character and His Word and His promises and His involvement and His instruction. That conviction that is more firm and that is more lasting. The substance is always stronger than the circumstances and the what-ifs that we encounter. When I was in high school, I took a youth group trip to Six Flags over Texas. And when we got to Six Flags, one of the rides that I went on was it was this ride where you get on it and it spins around and the bottom drops out and you're pressed against the wall. It's nauseating. And so I'm up and I'm going against the wall and everything, and then I'm dizzy and the ride ends and I get off the ride. And as soon as I get off the ride, I step onto a bridge. It was a pontoon footbridge. I mean, you go down and the other foot goes up and you go back and forth, and there's this blue moat that you had to walk across this pontoon footbridge. I was already so dizzy, it didn't really feel that different to me. But as I was walking on, I was grabbing hold of the ropes because it was so unsteady that I thought I might fall into this dark blue moat. And then finally I made it across and I got on that solid ground. You see, our situation and our circumstances go up and down like that pontoon bridge. But faith is the substance. It is the assurance. It is that solid ground. You see, it's the conviction or the evidence or the testimony or the proof of the unseen that makes a difference in your life. When I was a seventh grade basketball player, I was the third best guard in a two-guard offense. So I didn't get to play very much, but I did get to watch the games. I had a good seat right beside the coach. Well, we're playing a tournament in a small town north of where I grew up, and they had this guy on this other team. We were good. And this guy on this other team was pretty good too, but you could tell he was really, really cocky. And so on the bench, you know, you get these great conversations on the bench, and generally the bench didn't really like this fellow very much. Didn't really know him, just decided not to like him. He made all tournament. And when he made all tournament, I stood up and booed, just to be in the seventh grade and cute, didn't really know what I was doing, didn't really know that, but I booed. Coach Ducote looked at me and he said, I'll talk to you when we get back to the school. Well, you can imagine that was one of the longest, most miserable bus rides that I ever had in my life, just waiting. Was he gonna whip me? It wouldn't matter if he benched me, I was already benched. You know, but what was he gonna do? And it was a little seventh grade mind, you know, where you're you're still a kid, but you want to try to be an adult. Couldn't think. Well, I was just scared. Get home, and he didn't do a thing. Didn't even bring it up. That kind of made it worse. But I was glad. He just dropped the whole thing. Well, faith is the conviction that God's word is true and that he, unlike Coach Ducote, will do everything he says at all times and in all circumstances. And you see, because his word is true and because he backs it up, because it's authoritative, then we can trust him and we can align ourselves completely to his word. Minister Warren Wiersbe describes true Bible faith as this. Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. You see, the central issue is not your faith. The central issue, this substance, is the faithfulness of God. It's the conviction that our Heavenly Father is more able than we are to accomplish the very best for us. And the belief, the substance, that is exactly what he is doing in our lives right now. And so that means for someone who believes and has put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, that means our success or our fulfillment or our happiness or however you want to say it, it comes by this conviction, not by the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And this chapter is filled with examples of that. You know, how Abel sacrificed by faith, how Enoch walked by faith, how Abraham lived by faith, how Noah was obedient by faith, and on and on. And their lives reveal something different, something unique. Their lives reveal that faith is that substance. And I've seen that substance demonstrated over and over with you here in this church. You know, I've been with people who are in the hospital and they say, I know that the Lord is in charge. Or they're going through a time and they're saying, you can't believe all the things that we're learning about the Lord. And it's unique and it's different. And they'd never say that if they didn't have faith. Because faith is that substance that creates a different response. And it's a response of hope. Whatever our situation, it's not based on what the doctor says, but ultimately on our Heavenly Father, who is the great physician, who has promised to heal us all eventually. And for a follower of Christ, that substance, not the circumstances, is the reality of what matters most. Many of you know about Job. You've read the book of Job. Well, I was reading a book the other day that really, without saying it, described a modern day Job. It was talking about Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory. He was the president of the United States back in the 1830s for a couple of terms. He had sort of a Job experience his entire life that a lot of us don't know about. Many don't know that his father died before Andrew was even born, and that when he was 13, Andrew and his brother Robert were messengers for the American army, and they were captured by the British. Andrew was hit by a British soldier and left a permanent scar because he refused to shine the soldier's boots. When he was released from prison, soon after, his brother Robert died, and then Andrew's mother died. And then his oldest brother Hugh had already died. So as a teenager, Andrew Jackson was left as an orphan. Yet in spite of that, he rose in the ranks of the Tennessee government, became a U.S. senator, became a Tennessee Supreme Court justice, and we know him as a famous general who fought in the War of 1812. Then he came back and he ran for president. Shortly before he became president at the age of 62, his beloved wife Rachel died suddenly. And by the time he took office, he was so racked with tuberculosis that the only way he could gain comfort is by bleeding himself regularly. How did he make it? Well, the story is told that after he left the presidency, and he'd retired to the Hermitage, you know, outside of Nashville, he made a request to a minister who was visiting his bedside shortly before his death. And he said, there's a beautiful hymn on the subject of the great and exceedingly precious promises of God to his people. It was a favorite hymn of my dear wife until the day of her death. Then he asked the minister, as he began reciting the hymn, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld with my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy trouble to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not harm thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. My soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Faith is the difference maker. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. Faith listens and faith responds. Faith says God rewards those who leave the choices up to him. And then tying it all together, finally, faith is coming to grips with the fact that 2,000 years ago, something happened that none of us were there. We weren't there to actually see it happen, but it's something that's a life changer. That Jesus Christ lived and died on the cross for us and rose again. And believing faith says, that has made all the difference for me. And the question is, can you say that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what your word says here, and we thank you for how you are the great dispenser of faith. Lord, we thank you for how our faith is tied into an actual reality, a historical event that centers upon your Son who came and died on the cross to forgive us of our sins so that we may be entitled to all the benefits that come with that. Your precious promises, your reality, the substance and the conviction of things unseen. Bless us, O Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Until next time, may God bless.